Well, I can only imagine how difficult it is to be without a pastor for so long. There is something to be said for the continuity of having a pastor that feeds you with knowledge and understanding from God's Word. And as much as a variety of voices is intriguing, I'm sure it starts to wear thin after a while. So may God help you find the pastor that is right for you in the days to come. I really don't get an opportunity very often anymore to speak outside my own parish, and for obvious reasons, I'm required at home base. And so when I was considering what I would share with you, I think somebody had said to me at one time, well, just bring this group, because they may never hear you again. Bring your best sermon. I go, oh, what's my best sermon? I don't know. Thousands of sermons at this point. But to me, the best sermon is one that's going to fit the people in the circumstance that they're in. Just because maybe something preached well in another environment doesn't mean it will in this one. So that idea didn't really appeal to me. So I did pray about it, and I thought maybe I could share something with you that if you had a pastor, the pastor wouldn't have the courage to share with you himself. I'd like to talk to you about dealing with difficult people. Now, I'm not suggesting that you're difficult, okay? Because I don't know you. Well, you don't know me either, but I just know that in every one of our lives, we rub shoulders with people who are difficult. Am I right? You're allowed to nod, okay? We just do. And Muhammad Ali, he said, it isn't the mountains ahead to climb that wear you out, it's the pebble in your shoe. And of course, a pebble in your shoe is something that keeps you off balance. It's an irritant. And a difficult person in your life can be like a pebble in your shoe. Now, how many of you would acknowledge that you've had a pebble in your shoe somewhere along the way? Someone that just gets on your nerves. Thank you. Your wife's looking at you going, it's not me, is it? Well, some days. We're all married. Come on, some days. It might be someone you work with. It might be someone that you live with. Oh, dear, it might be someone that you go to church with. Do you have a pebble, or are there pebbles in your shoe? Of course, we're referring to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 this morning. But before we unpack that verse, and we are going to, I'd like you to give some consideration to what we mean by difficult people. All right. So, here's a few possibilities. Depending on your own personality, right? A difficult person might include someone who's indecisive, someone who's a know-it-all, someone who's just always agrees with everything you say. Maybe it's the opposite, someone who's a complainer, someone who never speaks, someone silent, someone who's aggressive, someone who's always negative. Other types of difficult people may include someone who's controlling, domineering. Are you thinking of people in your mind as we go through this list? Unbending, condescending, argumentative, contrary, or someone who seems they have an axe to grind. They might come across to you as someone who's rude, abrupt, angry, mean, vindictive. To some of us, a person who seems irrational or dumb or unreasonable or lazy, to us, that person might be difficult. Difficult persons certainly include those who are gossipers, meddlers, busybodies, those who spread rumors, stir up concerns. And we often refer to people that are difficult in our lives as toxic. They bring negative and contentious energy wherever they are. Sometimes we refer to these people as abrasive, like sandpaper, and they rub us the wrong way. Well, you know, perhaps you're used to a lot of doctrinal sermons, and I'm all about that. I think we need to know the Word of God, but there are times we need to hear something that's just right in our face, applicable to what we're dealing with in the moment. The truth is, every single person has to deal in their life with someone that they find difficult. And as I said, it might be someone right here in the church. It might be someone you work with. It might be even someone that you're related to. There we go. Linus said, "I love mankind. It's people I can't stand." You ever had a day like that? Come on. You know, what was the missionary who said? He said, I'd love being a missionary. It's just the people. If there was no people, it would be great. A pet owner asked a hotel manager one time if he could bring his dog. And the manager replied, "You know, through my years of managing this venture, I've never had a dog steal from me, lie to me, or cheat. You can bring as many dogs as you want, but be careful with the people." Ephesians 4:2 speaks about bearing or tolerating with one another in love. Now, jealousy sometimes comes into play. If I think of the narrative involving King Saul and the emerging leader, David, when King Saul heard the people singing, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands," Saul thought to himself that this young man was emerging and stealing his thunder. And he was riddled with jealousy, and it tormented him, and he sought to eliminate David. Talk about dealing with a difficult person. Is there someone jealous of you? I go to the kitchen where Martha was preparing a meal while Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And we think maybe Martha was that obsessive compulsive kind of person. I know about obsessive compulsive because I've got a few tendencies myself. And I know that sometimes my tendencies get on the nerves of my wife because everything has to be in its place. And she really doesn't care. Do you know anyone with obsessive compulsive behaviors that maybe get on your nerves? We had a young man named Joseph here this morning, and we talked to him about his preference for colored coats. Joseph's brothers found Joseph to be a difficult person because he came across to them as arrogant as he disclosed the dream he had about them bowing down to him. Do you know anybody that's arrogant? Paul wrote to the Philippian church in chapter 4, verse 2, "I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel." Have you ever met two women or two men that just can't seem to get along? This church in Philippi was dealing with that. Paul and Barnabas, they had no small argument over the value of a young man named John Mark. They couldn't agree on John Mark's profitability in ministry, and so they ended up separating for a season. Alexander the coppersmith disliked Paul so much he opposed him everywhere he went. Have you ever been in a relationship or in a circumstance where somebody has just, everything you do, they're against, they're opposed to you? Some people develop defense mechanisms. They do so because they don't want to be hurt. But in so doing, they hurt others. No matter, it says in Romans 12, verse 18, "If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men." And Ephesians 4, 2, "You need to bear or tolerate with one another in love." YBH, yes, but how? I'd like to, but I don't know how to. I'm going crazy. I want to quit. I want to run away, disconnect, divorce, leave the church, quit my job. Sometimes I want to shake people, smack them. That's a bad idea. Ruth Graham, the wife of the evangelist Billy Graham, was once asked if she'd ever considered divorce. She said, "Divorce? No. Murder? Oh, yeah." How can we tolerate each other in love The term tolerate, bearing, literally means to hold yourself back from what you really want to say, what you really would want to do. It means to put up with people that irritate and frustrate and make you not want to be around them. But how? Well, we turn to the text, Ephesians 4, verse 2. Three big biblical tips on how to deal with difficult people in your life. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Tip number one, be completely humble. Remember the song? Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking every day. No, that's sarcasm. Humility means you acknowledge, I know this is going to be hard. Humility means that you acknowledge that you too are a difficult person to somebody. Come on, turn to the person close to you and say, you know, I can be difficult sometimes. Some of you don't want to do that, do you? I can be difficult. You know, if you have to stand on your head to smile, you're a difficult person. If telemarketers hang up on you, you're a difficult person. Humility means that you're not supposed to think too high of yourself or too low. Humility means that you view the person that bothers you, the person that's getting on your nerves, you view them as equally loved and valued by God. That's humility. You can't have a secret scale based on intelligence or appearance that puts you here and them here. The ground at the foot of the cross is level, and humility means to acknowledge that. And in terms of treatment, humility means that you treat them as though they are more important. Even though they're not, they're just as the same value as you, you still treat them as if they are. Philippians 2, verse 3, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. So you treat them as if you're superior. You go, okay, I don't know who spoke here last Sunday, but you're probably preferring them to me right now. Because when someone's getting on your nerves, the last thing you want to do is treat them as if they're better than you. And it's interesting. It doesn't just say be humble, it says be completely humble. Have you ever met someone who's half humble? We need to guard against pride. And it's more than an attitude. It's actually an action. One of the verses of the Bible that undressed me one day was Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 2. I opened up the scriptures, and God was challenging me personally about pride. And I said, God, aren't I humble? And as I read the scriptures, it said, seek humility. Never mind the fact that you think you're humble. Are you looking for opportunities to humble yourself? Seek humility. In other words, are you praying for the people that are getting on your nerves? Well, you say, I can do that. Dear God, teach them a lesson. Show them how bad they are. Smite them with all your fire. No. You're supposed to pray for those who persecute you, Jesus said. You're supposed to pray for those who mistreat you. He was teaching that you ask a blessing over their life. Just think about the persons that are rubbing you the wrong way, the difficult people in your life. Do you have the capacity, the humble capacity to say, God, I want you to pour out a blessing upon their life? Now we're seeking humility. Serve them, Romans 12, 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do something kind for them. That's right. Go against your nature. Do something kind for them. And if you can't do that, then you need to look for the plank in your own eye. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7? We're looking at the speck in somebody else's eye, pointing out their faults, but meanwhile we got a big 2x4 sticking out of our own eye. If we can't humbly pray and serve those who are getting on our nerves, then there's something wrong with us. Develop empathy. Try to understand why a person is the way they are. Maybe they're rubbing you the wrong way. Maybe they come across as very assertive. Maybe they have a personality that is challenging and abrasive. But have you ever thought that maybe they've been so wounded, like a puppy that has been kicked around and now snaps at anyone who reaches out to it, that this person may have been hurt? They didn't wake up one morning and say, "Oh, I'm going to be miserable." They're simply acting out of their own pain. And if you can be empathetic towards that, you can pray with Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Be completely humble, dealing with difficult people, and gentle. And gentle. There are times we need to approach people who we perceive as causing damage, whether it be intentionally or unintentionally, and we need to correct their behavior. It's always true when sin is involved. We need to address the matter. But it's also true when someone's dysfunctional behavior is hurting other people. And so we turn to what Jesus taught in Matthew 18. He gave us a paradigm. If somebody is demonstrating faults, then go to them one-on-one and gently bring up the issue before them. If that doesn't bring resolution, then take another person so that there's a witness. And if that doesn't work, then bring it before the whole church. But the idea is that it's a gentle approach. You're not trying to destroy the person. You're trying to wrap the humility of dealing with this person in gentleness. A soft answer diffuses wrath, the Bible says. Speak the truth in love, and that you may grow up into him in all things, which is head, even Christ. Now, it's a hard thing to do. We do not want to bring up a sinful behavior to someone else, or a irrational behavior, or something that's hurtful, because we're afraid that when we do, it's going to absolutely destroy the relationship that we have with them. They may respond negatively, and it's a risk. It's an absolute risk. But if you don't, then you are complicit. You're enabling them. And so God says you need to, in dealing with difficult people, be completely humble and gentle. One more. Bearing with one another in love. Sometimes they lash out in anger. Sometimes they disconnect. You just need to be patient. We're all a work in progress. We're all human becomings. And if it's a personality thing or a simple disagreement like it was between Paul and Barnabas, you can agree to disagree. That's okay. Over time, Paul acknowledged that Barnabas was correct and John Mark was profitable for ministry. David had to step away from King Saul. He had an opportunity to actually eliminate King Saul and then remove his headache altogether. But he, in fighting a dragon, it says this in The Lord of the Rings, I think The Hobbit, when fighting a dragon, be careful not to become a dragon yourself. Isn't that wise? We need to bear with one another in love. There can never be a time when you try to get even. Repay no one for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, leave peaceable with all men. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's Romans 12, verses 17. And if justice needs to be meted out, that's God's business, not yours. My wife teaches kindergarten. This is not her story, but this is a story she heard about. And teacher was helping some kindergarten students put their boots on one morning, and as the one child was trying to put on their boots, the boots just wouldn't budge. But after a lot of effort and manipulating, finally the boots squeaked on, And then and only then did the little boy say to the teacher, Mrs., they're on the wrong feet. She looked, and sure enough, they were, and so she managed to keep her cool, and she twisted and turned and got the boots off the wrong feet, and again put them on the right feet, and then he announced to her, teacher, these aren't my boots. She bit her tongue. She didn't know whether to laugh or cry. She wanted to say, why didn't you tell me that? Once the boots were off again, the little monster added, they're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them. And sometimes life is just like that. We're all so different, and the differences drive us crazy. And if there's someone in your life that's driving you crazy, call them an EGR. They're a person that deserves extra grace or extra grace required. Why are they in your life? You need to know that they're good for you. You don't think they are, but they are. Because these difficult people reveal the true condition of your heart. The way you respond to them determines whether you are a disciple of Jesus or not. Because didn't Jesus say, unless you love one another, you cannot be my disciple? I think he said that. And not only that, difficult people cause us to grow, to develop a thick skin, to clarify our values. And so, friends, it's just a practical message today that every one of us have people in our lives that are going to rub us the wrong way, irritate us. But those people and how we manage them, it's more about us and how we treat them with humility, gentleness, and abound in love. May God add his word to your hearts and seal it by the Holy Spirit this morning in your practical living. Amen.